Well, that they ought to get in touch with local peace organizations in their communities, as should anyone who wants to get involved. That almost every community has some anti-war or peace, usually religious based, sometimes not. There's a great deal we can all do, but most important, I think, is to let the president know and to let our representatives in the House and the Senate know that most Americans do not want this war.
Is the Black Congressional Caucus working with you on this?
Generally speaking, they are. I'm not sure if every single one is, but I'm sure an overwhelming majority are.
And how about those churches?
That was Julian Bond, chair of the NAACP. And Robert, it looks like Laura Flanders is over there?
Yes, indeed, with some truly colorful guests.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Yes, I feel a warm glow suddenly surrounding me. I'm surrounded by the women of Code Pink. It's very cozy here. Medea Benjamin, one of the founders. What are you doing all dressed in pink?
Well, we've been dressed in pink for the last 3 months. We've been outside the White House every day. We just returned from Baghdad all dressed in pink. And while Bush says code orange, we say code pink. That's the sign for peace.
Now, you have a lot of history protesting, as you said, outside of the White House. But you have a future plan, too. When you come back from here, back to your communities where you're all from, what's your next project?
We're organizing for March 8th, International Women's Day, when we want women from all over the country to come to Washington and show the power of women for peace. And we are organizing women in their own communities. There are Code Pink groups that are cropping up all over. In fact, we're just inaugurating our Code Pink office in New York City.
I think I can hear Betty singing on the stage here, one of the fantastic women's musical groups that we've had in our community for years. When we talk about tradition and community and the history of women's organizing, who are your idols? Who are your role models?
Well, throughout history, women have played incredible roles. There are now people all over the country who are doing readings of Lisa Strada. We look at women throughout history and say, this is our time in history right now, and we've got to be our own role models. We just came back from Baghdad. We met women who were under incredible stress.
Hold it 1 second. We're going to go to Betty. Hear Betty on the stage for a moment. We'll come back to Medea Benjamin in just a moment.
And I'm broken. Oh, it hurts when I laugh. I can't even smile. So I guess I'll stay broken a while. If I were a watch, I'd get quickly repaired or stitched up and sewn like a dress with a tear. But I'm people, just people, and I'm broken, broken. Oh, 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 oh. Together forever apart, apart forever. I'm people, you're people, and we're broken.
Peace!
And we're going to turn now to a report from what's happening on the streets here in New York City.
I'm Orlando Richards. I'm over here by 2nd Avenue and 54th Street. And we're walking around all day. There's thousands of people trying to get to the rally and cannot actually get to the rally point. And the police is sending us up and down and all around. And it seems like people are getting frustrated. So they sort of kind of have their own little rally in the sidewalk. And instead of walking up and down, they start moving, and there's cops coming around and arresting people. Right now I'm witnessing them harassing one woman in a brown jacket, and they're harsh, like pushing a young man. They harass the young man right now too, and I witnessed them arresting about 10 more people before. Right now they're just blocked off people, and there's hundreds of people like just locked into the sidewalk, and they're just arresting them one by one and two by two. It's just a mess. It's just gridlock over here. There's nowhere we can go. They have horses. They have Honda cover car. It's just like really, really messy over here. There's no getting away from them. And it seems like they intend to arrest everybody that they have in their position right now.
And you're listening to The World Says No to War. We're going to be talking to the organizer, the chair of this event. She is Leslie Kagan, and she has been very sick. Leslie, if you can come on over. Leslie. She is standing right by us. She has definitely lost her voice. Leslie Kagan in the Purple Beret is also the chair of the Pacifica Foundation. Leslie, what are your thoughts today? The police say something like 500,000, but my God, this is just First Avenue. We're not even talking about the people on Third Avenue right now.
Well, I have no idea what the numbers are. And, you know, at a certain point, it doesn't matter. What matters is that people of this country, not only here in New York today, but in scores, dozens, hundreds of cities around the country, are joining the over 600 cities around the world to make a clear cry for peace, that we are not going to let this man, George Bush, lead the world into war. I think it's at least 500,000. I heard one reporter say that their radio station is announcing 700,000 to 1,000,000. The point is, all of Midtown Manhattan is wrapped up in this demonstration today.
We go now to the report of Laura Flanders.
We have some news from the organizers and an estimate on the numbers of those who are gathered behind me here, which is to say in front of the stage. They say the demonstration is extending for 59 blocks, calculating about 7,000 people per block, as the NYPD traditionally do, and adding those who are also gathered on 2nd Avenue and 3rd Avenue. The organizers now are saying that their estimate is over 500,000 people gathered this February 15th in New York City. With me, as one of those who is going to be speaking in a moment, is Brian Patton. Brian Patton is a reservist. Brian, there were, I think it was 40,000 National Guard and Reserve called up this week. You're not one of them. Are you likely to be soon?
At this point, I don't know. It's anybody's call.
How do you know when you might be called up? Do you ever get a warning? Do you get some sense of when you might have to prepare to go?
As traditional guardsmen and reservists, we're required to be ready to go within a short time frame. Could be within a matter of 12 hours or 24 hours. Depends on what the call-up is.
Do you know people who've been deployed already?
I know through my unit people who, through other positions we have, are stationed abroad, yes.
So what do you think? Are you going to go if you're called?
Well, I think like any military member, you know, we signed up to do a job. It doesn't mean conscientiously we're in favor of that. And I think that's every individual's call. But personally, if I were called, I would go. But I just hope that the public, and that's me speaking and not on behalf of the military, but to know that, you know, it's we're doing our job. But I think it's the voice of the people here today to say that as a nation, what do we want? And that's what the important issue is here.
Now, you're a reservist. What do you do most of the time when you're not doing your reserve duty? What's your job? How do you live your life?
I work for a telecommunications company as a product manager for our internet hosting services.
And why did you end up signing up with the reserve?
I've been doing it for 17 years and signed up just out of a sense of something I'd always wanted to do, was to serve my country.
All right, Brian, I want to thank you. Thanks for coming and good luck to you.
Sure, thank you.
Brian Patton, I'm Laura Flanders. Back to the stage.
People betray what's best about our country, its history, and our traditions. I am here with thousands of Jews because we Jews know that Bush and Sharon's calamitous policies and their refusal to aggressively pursue a real and just and lasting peace perpetuate a monstrous injustice against the Palestinian people and threaten the security of Israel, and Bush's planned devastation of Iraq will only make this devastation worse. We do not trust Bush. We do not trust his cronies. We do not trust his motives. And so we say no to war, to imperialism, to his dismantling of our democracy, our republic, and our nascent global civilization. We say no to Bush.
This is Tony Kushner.
And we know that millions upon millions of people who have turned out today all over the planet affirm life and peace. And this is not the end point of our resistance, but the beginning.
Our next speaker is an author, served as a political prisoner in the United States, written and talked about the prison industrial complex, one who's always been on the scene, Sister Angela Davis.
South Africans, we have activists and we have Broadway stars. With me, just off the stage, is the group Betty from Betty Rules. This is Elizabeth, Allison, Amy. You're going straight from here to your matinee performance, one of two today. Why did you come to this demonstration, make your day even longer?
We wanted to contribute. We needed to contribute.
It's so important now. Now is the time for people to speak up. People have been saying this behind closed doors for too long. I'm glad. I'm so proud to be a New Yorker today to see the throngs of people that have come out to say.
Elizabeth, how did it look from the stage?
It's incredible. There's so many people, and we've sung at a lot of marches because we're originally from D.C. And this one was so powerful and wonderful. And there's people here that are just united in such an incredible way. And all sorts of different people. It's great.
And
we're freezing.
And cold.
We're
very, very cold.
Very cold.
We're very, very cold.
But it's okay. It's great because it's bringing everybody together. You have to, like, huddle close to people. It's wonderful. And you should be here.
Are we going to stop this war, girls?
Yes, we are. And you know what? I wouldn't have really thought so 100% before today. And after today, I know we're going to stop this war.
We're going to stop this war. We're not going to stop Betty Rules. Go see it on Broadway. I'm Laura Flanders here with Free Speech TV, Pacifica Radio, and WorldLink TV. 500,000 people in the streets.
Woo!
We're glad. We're glad you're with us.
This is a historic protest. And we link our protests against the war on Iraq to the historic 1982 march to the United Nations, a march of 1 million people demanding nuclear disarmament. 21 years later, as we say, no war on Iraq, we are still calling for nuclear disarmament. It is ironic how the term weapons of mass destruction has become inextricably linked to Iraq. Have we forgotten which country claims the largest nuclear arsenal in the world? And so, yes, we say no weapons of mass destruction should be in the hands of any government in the world. The Bush administration tries to generate fear and hysteria, tactics reminiscent of the McCarthy era.
This is Angela Davis.
Tom Ridge hoped to set off a national march to hardware stores for plastic sheeting and duct tape. Some people may have joined that march of fear, but many more are participating in demonstrations of collective courage. We are here today because we are concerned about the deterioration of political culture instigated by George W. Bush. He has lowered the level of political discourse to discussions about evildoers and hunts for terrorists. This simplistic political discourse is fundamentalist in its impulse. It is designed to stop critical thinking. It is designed to prevent us from recognizing the U.S. government's and corporate designs on Iraq's oil. Our responsibility to stop the war on Iraq is a responsibility to the future. We cannot allow the U.S. government to establish a precedent that justifies
future assaults, especially on peoples of the southern region of the world. We are here because we are concerned about rising poverty in our own country. We are concerned about attacks against single mothers, about structural racism, about homophobia, about the incarceration of what the government considers disposable populations. We are concerned about the continued repression of political prisoners, including Mumia Abu-Jamal and the five Cubans in Florida. We are concerned about the symbiotic relationship between the prison industrial complex and the military industrial complex. We are concerned that we are on the brink of war. But we feel heartened that key members of the UN Security Council are resisting the rhetorical tricks of Colin Powell. And the French Foreign Minister, Dominique de Villepin, evoked the rapidly developing global anti-war movement when he said yesterday, "Give peace a chance." We are here because we stand together in solidarity with the September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And we are heartened because we know that our bodies, our voices, our hearts do make a difference. They make a difference when we unite as we are doing today, when we unite for peace and when we unite for justice. Thank you.
We're live in New York. Up next, Julie Dinnerstein with Century for Families on Immigration Rights.
Very lucky to practice immigration law in New York City. New York City is a very immigrant-friendly community, and we have not experienced problems with the police, responding negatively to crime victims who are immigrants as a general matter.
And you are listening to The World Says No to War. It is the demand, it is the statement that is being made all over the world. We are now with Sarah Flounders. We've only got a few minutes. Sarah Flounders of the International Action Center. Your observations today, not only on First Avenue, but all over the city.
Well, all over the city, it's clear this is really an event that is changing history. It's such a phenomena. And it's the greatest responsibility of all of us also to think immediately what's ahead. And that is the point that I'd really like to raise here. There is a call for an emergency convergence at the White House in 2 weeks, March 1st, which is the next deadline. This movement here in New York, across the country, across the world, can't stop. We need to keep the pressure on and turn the heat up. There is also a call for, on March 5th, a moratorium, a walkout of students from high schools, from campuses all across the country. That's Wednesday, March 5th. So Saturday, March 1st, an emergency convergence at the White House. Wednesday, March 5th, a moratorium, a shutdown. There's also plans of all the groups for a walkout in the event of war. If war starts, we want to say to everyone listening, not only a demonstration at 5 p.m. at federal buildings, of course, for that, but students and even workplaces should think about a walkout, a stay away.
Sarah Flounders from the International Action Center, as we go now to the stage.
Is art lifting up and pricking our consciousness, Brother Danny Glover? Peace, no war. Peace, no war. We come here to reclaim our right as citizens of the world to peacefully protest. We must all stand as one voice. We've come to demand that the real users of weapons of mass destruction, our own country, dismantle them. That those who manufactured this climate of fear stop their lies and heed the will of the people and the nation and the rest of the world to say no to war. That's why we come here.
We've overcome many obstacles in order to stand here this afternoon. For one, nature's unyielding and unforgiving reminder that this is mid-February and it's cold. But Mother Earth has smiled on us because she understands clearly that our voice must be heard. She knows that she is sick and only we the people can heal her. She knows that. We've overcome the obstacles that have been placed in our path on this journey by the city of New York and the state of New York and the federal institutions, yet we overcome our own fear to be here today, because only with the acknowledgement of that fear do we demonstrate our real courage to stand up today. But we're here. We stand here because our right to dissent and our right to be participants in a true democracy has been hijacked by an intimate administration of liars and murderers who curse us because we stand in the way of their tyranny, who cursed us because we stand in the way of their unholy and brutal agenda, an administration whose villainy and greed is insatiable. We stand.
That was Danny Glover speaking from the stage, speaking to over half a million people, they say, here gathered in the streets of New York. I'm with three of those who have helped to pull this demonstration together. I'm going to get a word from each of them. This has been a broad and extraordinary demonstration here today. Brenda Stokely is here with New York Labor Against the War. Melanie K. Kantrowitz with Jews for Racial and Economic Justice. Eli Parisa with MoveOn.org. A word from each of you. Brenda, where do you go next?
What we have to do now is to actually stop the war. And the only way that's going to happen is by daily organizing among people, particularly workers who can close the city down, and workers who are going to be going over there to fight. So that's what we have to do from this point on.
Melanie, why has it been important for Jews to come out today?
Because the word on the street is that Jews are for this war, and that there's so many of us who are against the war for many, many reasons, some Jewish, some just like everybody else.
Eli?
The next big thing is the virtual march on Washington, February 26th. We're doing phone calls, emails, faxes, all intended to inundate the administration and Congress with communications. And, that's the next big step.
All right. Check it out at MoveOn.org. I'm Laura Flanders. It's been an honor and a privilege to share this day with all of you, especially my colleagues over there at Pacifica, Amy Goodman et al. Amy, back to you.
Yes, Laura, and we are here. The numbers are quite astounding. You can't really believe anything you hear now. From half a million, I think, are the police estimates. So you can probably double that, especially because people have been so separated here. On the one hand, together on the stage, and on the dozens of blocks beyond 50th Street on First Avenue. But then, as Robert, you were saying, you made your way over to 2nd and 3rd Avenue. In fact, right behind us, New York Police Department, mounted police. They are on horseback right now, and they are moving over to 2nd Avenue.
About a dozen or two dozen mounted police are on their way. 2nd Avenue has been embarricaded. There was a truck just a short time ago putting out new barricades. 3rd Avenue is locked down. The audience for this rally is far huger than is apparent. And there's good reason for that, because there was another protest yesterday at the United Nations when the Security Council was disinclined to act on the allegations of the Bush administration. But today's rally is a prelude to further controversy. The United States only has four members in the Security Council willing to vote for further operations at this point in time. But as of the 1st of March, there will be another inspector's report, and the United States and Britain are expected to put forward another war-making resolution. So there will be a future crisis, and that will be pressed by time, because the United States generally likes to invade before a full moon, which comes up in the middle of the month. So today's rally is both culmination and prelude, I think.
I
think it's important that our listeners keep in mind that
Verna.
The peace movement has actually made a difference. The Bush administration initially didn't want to have to go to the UN to try and get the resolution at all. Now we're finding out that not only did they have to go, but they have to go back perhaps for a second vote before they're able to move forward with their war agenda. Amy and Robert, I think that every person here that probably represents hundreds of thousands of others that didn't actually make it here today. And we want to invite those people, if they want to be able to weigh in on this movement in some way, to visit our Pacifica website. Pacifica has been on the front lines of these demonstrations for the last four demonstrations. Every time there has been one, Pacifica has been right there with our microphones broadcasting. www.pacifica.org if you'd like to weigh in and show your support for this type of programming.
And while we're talking about websites, they are all so important so people can link up and learn more. Precisely. democracynow.org, pacifica.org, freespeech.org, flashpoints.net. This is the largest public media collaboration that we have seen in this country covering today. The largest demonstration against war on the streets of New York, no matter how much the state tried to clamp down. Some do believe that that terror alert logo that seemed to become a part of the logo of the cable news networks should really more accurately have been, Robert and Verna, protest alert, because that, it seems, is what they were trying to say from the government to the media that all too often acts as stenographers to those in power, making
Excellent
people
point.
Afraid to go out.
Excellent point. And in fact, I think there ought to be a different kind of alert. The terror threat to the United States Constitution is at a high level today, given the difficulties of people to assemble peaceably to express their views on a potential war in Iraq.
I wish someone would introduce a Homeland Security Act 2 to protect us from the Homeland Security Act 1 that seems to be eroding our constitutional rights.
There are major events that are happening even today, tonight, at Pier 60 at the Chelsea Piers, where college students, thousands of them, will be gathering for a mass rally. And tomorrow in San Francisco, our colleagues at KPFA, Pacifica Station there, will be doing a major national broadcast from San Francisco, where, among others, Alice Walker will be speaking.
Amy, I wanted to ask you and Robert, have you gotten your duct tape and your plastic sheeting yet? And your scissors, of course.
I'm going to duck that issue.
I would suggest that you get enough. Here's something that we haven't really heard the FBI and CIA directors talking about. To actually get enough to cover your home and your workplace as well. What if you're driving down the street when a so-called chemical or biological attack?
Well, this is not really security as much as it is therapy.
Well, this concludes our live broadcast from the streets of New York, where the world says no to war. Today's program represents the largest ever collaboration of progressive broadcast media. The march itself, just a part of what's become the most massive, diverse global peace movement in history. While the corporate media in the U.S. continues to build the illusion that U.S. citizens are united for war, it is very clear that more than a million people in New York today, joining millions of people around the world, have completely destroy that myth and are saying yes to peace and no to Bush. We'll end with Laura Flanders, who will sum up with Laura's Vents. Well, Laura is over at the stage. I'm Amy Goodman here with Verna Avery Brown and Robert Knight, and we say goodbye for now, although this is just the beginning.
This is KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno. I'm going to remind you of the fact that our coverage continues from WBAI in New York in just a moment. But we want to take this time just to remind you of the fact that here at KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno, like the other Pacifica stations, we are in a fund drive and we do indeed need your help and we need your support to keep this station alive, to keep these voices on the air, and to provide you with a lot of what has been and will continue to be Pacifica's mission. If you can call us right now and pledge whatever you can at 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732 or 848-5732 in the 510 area code. We would greatly appreciate it. We need your support and help right now. Don't forget that coming up at 1 o'clock here on the West Coast, it's the teach-in led by the Flashpoints team, Leslie Kane, Dennis Bernstein, and many, many others. Mary Bishop, the list goes on and on. A number of guests, Daniel Ellsberg, etc.